All right. I'm going to read a few verses in Matthew chapter 5. Start in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So I was just looking at some of the verses about being salt. And it's saying, you know, it talks about salt losing its flavor and that we are the salt. And I've often never connected the verses around the verse about being salt. And I realized that when I looked at the verses before, it explained how we can be that salt with the flavor that we need to be. And so I wanted to look at that. And we can see in verse 1, we see that multitudes came to Jesus, and he went up on the mountain, and he was seated, and his disciples came to him. So he's talking to his disciples. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So being meek and humble in spirit. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted or strengthened." Mourning over the things in our life that we see that aren't lining up with the word of God. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Having a humble and meek spirit. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. The merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. And then those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those are characteristics of those who have salt. Those who are the salt. And if we want to be the salt, starts with being poor in our spirit, crying out to the Lord for meekness and humility, hungering for him and for his righteousness. When you think about salt, it's not about the quantity of the salt. It's about the quality of the salt. You know, don't take a plate and dump a pound of salt on the food, but we use it in such a way that it just takes a little bit because the salt is potent. Now, if the salt was diluted with moisture or pollutants, then you'd have to use more salt. You know, if the recipe called for a teaspoon, but it was bad quality salt and it was mixed with a bunch of other garbage or maybe just diluted with water, you'd have to put in a lot more salt because it was starting to lose its savor, its flavor. But we are called to be salt with flavor. Because it says if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing but thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now let's look in Luke 14. And this is what really struck me here. And we'll see in Luke 14, verse 34. It says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I was thinking, Lord, how does salt lose its flavor? What truth are you speaking here? And why did you put it right there after, you know, the previous verses? And I looked, and let's look in verse 25. "Now great multitudes went with him, and he returned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and follow after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And then he says, salt is good, but if salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? The disciples, we have to be a disciple if we want to be the salt. We can't be salt if we're not a disciple. And we see that if we have a person or people take up more of our heart than Jesus Christ, right? Jesus has to be the all in all. If we love someone more than Christ, we can't be a disciple. That means, and say we start off and we got that first love and we're so thankful for what the Lord has done for us and the Lord is first. And then as time goes on, there's tests and temptations. And all of a sudden someone comes into our life and tries to woo us away. Jesus says, you have to forsake all. You have to, he uses a strong word, hate. That means to if you love something else more than me, it's like hatred, right? Because it could seem that way when someone you love says, hey, let's go over here and let's spend time watching some filthy thing. And you say, no, I'm not going with you. That's not what Christians do. We don't put these things before our eyes. That could seem, that person could be offended. That could seem like hatred. Like, what, you don't love me? You're not going to come with me? That's just a very simple example. But it could be, there could be many other ways that it could look like hatred to someone because you decide to follow Jesus. Like we sang that song, the world behind me, the cross before me, though none go with me, still I will follow. Is that true? When you sing that, are you speaking the truth? If none go with you, will you follow or will you go with the multitudes? We have to think about it when we're singing a song. Is that what we mean in our hearts? Or do we need to make it right there and so that we can sing it? So it seems like there's a few conditions here for discipleship. Number one is you have to hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and your own life also, if you want to be a disciple. Number two, if you don't take up your cross and follow after him, you can't be a disciple. So we need to bear up our cross. And then it talks about building a tower and going to war. You see, when you lay a foundation, that's Jesus Christ. What other foundation can be laid but that which is Jesus, it says. And our Christian life is like a battle, right? So when a king going to war against another king, we're going to war against the devil. And Christ is on our side. We're not battling alone. But I was thinking, why is it saying here that the other has 20,000 and we only have 10,000? I was thinking, isn't there, greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world? So I was pondering these things, and maybe it's an example that, the battle is going to be severe, and it's going to seem like, we're going to come to the end of ourselves because we're going to feel very weak and like we can't do it. And unless we're a disciple, we won't win the battle. We're going to be defeated because the devil's, he is a strong army. He's not, it says one stronger came, that's Jesus Christ. So we need Christ and we need to be a disciple in order to defeat the enemy. If we're always being defeated, that means we're not a disciple. So all those examples lead up to salt losing its flavor. We can't be a half-hearted Christian and be a disciple. If we're a half-hearted Christian, we're salt that has lost its flavor or doesn't have flavor. And it says that that kind of salt is just fit to be put in the dunghill to be trampled underfoot by men. So we want to be a disciple, to forsake all, so we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I won't read it now, but in Matthew 5, then it talks, after he says it talks about that, he says, a light is not to be covered under a bowl, but to be shone before everyone. And it says, so let your good works be seen by men so that it may glorify your Father in heaven. And then it talks about murder, and then it talks about murder and anger in the heart. So the outward and the inward. And that's like the difference between a disciple and someone who's just playing the game. You know, it's the heart. You know, it talks about not committing adultery outwardly versus being a disciple and also having the purity inwardly. And so you can see there, the disciples, they have, there's the Lord's working inside. And they're taking sin seriously. And they're not just professing with their mouth. Okay, so the last passage I'll read here is in Mark. Mark chapter 9. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole passage here, but I'm going to start in verse 38, Matthew 9:38. John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Don't forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon after speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." So here's people that weren't with the group. They're, you know, casting out demons in Jesus' name. And they're like, "You can't do that. You're not with us in our group here. So surely you can't be, you know, a disciple. You can't be for us." And, you know, I'm ashamed to say I've had that heart in the past. You know, "Oh, they don't meet with me. You know, they don't meet where I meet." Then they can't be really that genuine, because if they were, they'd be right here with me. And then I would use my hand to point finger at them. I'd use my eye to look down on them. And you can see here how he talks about now offenses. "And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." And then it talks about the hand causing you to sin. In Matthew 5, it talks about the hand with regards to sexual sin. Here it talks about the hand with regards to judging. And then it talks about the foot causing you to sin and cut it off. You know, running, quick to run into meddling in other people's matters and looking down on people. And then it talks about, you know, it says, so if those things cause you to sin, it says it's better to cut them off, because it's better to go into life, into heaven, maimed, rather than to hell with two hands or two feet. And then it talks about the eye. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes. There's no reference to sexual sin in this passage. Here it's talking about seeing someone who's casting out demons in Jesus' name, and "I'm going to forbid you. You're not with us." You know, looking down and causing someone to stumble. They could have caused him to stumble and be offended. And I think it ties it all in into the last part here in verse 49. "Everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another." So it's tying in salt and peace with people. Salt and judging. Looking down, using your hand, your feet, your eye to, you know, cause others to be offended by I think, through judging and unrighteous judgments and pride. So the other way to have salt is to not condemn others, not judge others, but to, it says, seek peace and pursue it, you know. Have peace with all men. Now, when I say that, I want to put a little caveat here, because remember, we have to hate father, mother, wife, children, friends, you know, and love Jesus more. Being set apart is not us. We can do that in a way that doesn't look down on people. And that's That's what we want. We don't want to be like, okay, I don't want to judge them, so I'm just going to go with them and whatever they're doing. That's not the answer here. We still need to be set apart. But it says the word will judge them. Let the word judge them. God will be the judge. We're not to look down on people and other, people who are casting out demons in Jesus' name. So other Christians. It says that we, by your fruits, we will know them. So we want to look at the fruit. And we don't want to just look in their eye and say, oh, I can see in their eye, there might be some darkness there, but you never even talk to the person. You don't know the person at all. We discern by fruit. By the fruit that's evident, we will be able to discern. Because God wants to give us some discernment so we're not making big decisions in our friendships and in our marriages and so forth. But let's have a heart of grace and mercy and not look down on others. Let's be a person who wants to be a disciple so that we will have savor and flavor and not be polluted by the things of the world so that the salt is diluted and polluted. Then it will be good for nothing. So I just wanted to share that short little truth about the salt that I learned, and Joel is going to share now.